The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. I wrote in the bulletin article this weekend that not too long ago, actually a few days ago, someone asked me a question that startled me. I was actually just outside the church, and then this lady saw me. I won't of course mention her name because you might know her. But I asked permission if I could share this conversation. I emailed her because that conversation reminded me of the gospel today. She asked me and said, "Father, is the end of the world near?" I was just like, "Wow, where did it come from?" And I said, "Well, it might be tomorrow, it can be today, it can be in 10 years, or in 200 years, who knows?" Then I said, "Why? Why the question?" Then she said, "Oh, you know, somebody gave me this book, and it was written by a priest, and it talks about specific signs and recommendations, what to do, what you need to have, you know, when this time comes, and all of that things." And he said, and I wonder if you can bless some of this stuff. And I was just like, I counseled her, and I told her, "You have to be very careful in what you read. And even though it's written by a priest or religious, if it doesn't have that ecclesiastical stamp or approval, we have to be very careful." And she told me, "Well, I am just really preoccupied that that time would come, and I'm not prepared." Well, the gospel today speaks of specific signs for the end of times. But at the end of the gospel, we were told very clearly that the day or the hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. What we heard from the gospel today is not supposed to cement fear in each and every one of us, but rather it exhorts that sense of urgency, that it is precisely because we don't know the day or the hour that we have to always keep our affairs in order. And what do I mean by that? That we always have to prepare actively in entering into the Lord's rest. We don't talk about a timeline, a specific date, or a specific time in a specific place. But rather, it exhorts us for an active, conscious, but joyful preparation. It is not supposed to be met with fear and trepidation. But rather, if we truly believe that what we do here in this world is just a preparation for what is ultimately stored for us, which is eternity with God, then it has to be a joyful anticipation. A joyful anticipation. I was also explaining to her that, you know, all of this external things that she was mentioning about, you know, like holy water, a candle, there was this oil or something. Tai said, entering into the Lord's rest don't work that way. God doesn't ask, okay, do you have your candle with you? Do you have your oil with you? You have this. Okay, now you have all of this, come in. You're good. No, but rather, the preparation that the Lord is asking us to do is interior preparation. That is the preparation of our hearts. And rather than getting morbidly fixated, I was explaining to her about the specific time, we have to pay more attention on how the Lord actually comes to us in every single moment of our lives. Because God's coming to us, yes, it's a definitive coming in the end, but we should not lose sight of the many ways that God continues to come to us in special way. You know, I said, just look at the wonders of creation. One of the things that I love about being here in the Northwest is fall. You know, and fall, I read one time in one of those things that pop up in your screen, Facebook, is like, fall just tells us that change is beautiful. Change is beautiful. But I said, just look at the wonders and the beauty of creation. There's God, you know, God is there. Just look at yourself in the mirror and, you know, sometimes, well, we might be discouraged sometimes. I'm just saying. But just being alive is already a proof of God's coming to us in a very special way. Through the sacraments, through the people around us, the people that we love, and the people who loves us, these are different ways and very concrete ways where we see the coming of Christ into our lives. And He comes to us in a very special way in the celebration of the sacraments, in the proclamation of the Word, but most importantly, in the Eucharistic celebration when He comes to feed us, not of anything, but of His very self. I said, you see all of these things, God is already with us. He's not just like an old guy dressed, you know, like in that pink wardrobe in the Sistine Chapel. That's, you know, the picture of God there on the ceiling, waiting for us in the end. Yes, His definitive coming will surely come. But we should not be morbidly fixated on that, but rather we celebrate already His coming with us right here. His coming of power and glory. The question that we can ask ourselves is, do I always recognize His coming? Do I always recognize His presence? Do I actually recognize His most special revelation of Himself in the Eucharist? That's something. You know, there's no other thing like this in the world. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a priest. I precisely became a priest because of this. And His coming to us in the Eucharistic table is one of His definitive assurance of His presence among us. He says in here, that the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, with great power and glory. We might be awaiting for that, the coming of Christ, the parousia, but his power and glory are also very much felt in our lives already, and I hope they are. And if the power and the glory of God are not yet felt in our lives, then we should not be expecting that the same power and glory will come to us later on. If we are still not able to see and feel His presence with us right now, it's probably difficult to even imagine what it is like to see Him and experience Him in the end. Because everything that we do here is a foretaste for that definitive and final encounter. Is God's power and glory felt in your life right now? What areas in our lives where the power and glory of God are not yet there? You know, the power and glory of God is not something that can be seen in the sky and the forces of nature. Well, it's also that. But St. Irenaeus, this is one of my most favorite quotes of all time. And pardon me if I'm repetitive about this, but it just makes sense to me. You know, when we speak of power and glory, we always think of an outside force coming to conquer us, an outside force that is imposing us. But St. Irenaeus defined God's glory. He said, the power of God is man fully alive. The power and glory of God is man fully alive. You see, the power and glory of God is something that is present in us when we truly live out our call and we are true to who we are. It is not something that is added to us from the outside, but rather it is inherently in us. Why is that? Because each one of us is created in God's own image and likeness. And guys, we should not just take it like a, you know, like a, an idea that's just kind of passed from our mind, you know, like it's just so up there. No. It is our inherent reality. Our inherent reality. It is your essence. It is my essence and your essence as well. That is why God's power and glory is in each and every one of us, is in us. But we also know that we don't always recognize that. So that is why the whole liturgical calendar of the church is designed for us to unpack our own reality before God. And you know, whenever you hear these apocalyptic tones in the scriptures, just like what we heard in the gospel today and also in the first reading from the book of Daniel, we have to ask ourselves, like, why am I hearing this at this time of the year? Well, it's because the season of ordinary time is almost ending. Next weekend is the last Sunday of ordinary time. And since it's the last Sunday of ordinary time, it also mimics and it also follows, you know, the trajectory of human experience. If it's towards the end already, if my end is gonna be imminent, if my end is gonna be today, tomorrow, or the next day, or in 5 years, am I ready? Because God's glory and power have already been in my life, and whatever is stored for me when He this word always kind of rattles my tongue. You know, being English is my second language. Definitive coming. is just upping the experience of what I have already been experiencing with God right now. That's the thing. By the end of our conversation, she asked me, I said, "So, Father, what do I do then with this materials?" I said, "It's written by a priest." And he said, "Well, you know, if it's helping you prepare positively and healthily, then it's fine, but it's not the gospel." It's not the gospel. Can I ask her, when you were reading this, when you finished the whole thing, what did it cement in your heart? What did it do to your heart? Did it make you excited or did it make you fearful? I was like, "Oh, it was more about fear than excitement." I said, "It's not helpful. And don't give it to another person." Because, you know, I said, everything that we need to have in order for us to prepare for that is already available to us. The sacraments, the Word of God, works of charity, but most especially the Eucharist, it's everything that we need is right, is already with us. So she said, "I'm just going to give it to you." And I said, "Yes, and please don't put it in the adoration chapel." Because I don't want people to be disturbed while adoring the Lord. That's the thing. Everything that we need has been given to us already through the very person of Christ and through the richness, the spiritual richness of the church. It's good to be reminded, you know, don't get me wrong, there are prophetic revelations that were revealed to us that are ecclesiastically approved. You know, revelations from Fatima, for example, and all those approved by the church. If the church has a stamp with it, then you can be assured that there's serious study and making sure that all of this is actually in consonance with our tradition and with the scriptures. You know, I'm not saying that we just have to toss everything away. No, I'm not saying that. But we have to be prudent. We have to be prudent. You know, I'm not, you know, it's good to, you know, to read these things, but we also have to be able to see the connections of it with the Word of God. Because why? Why do we have to? Because Christ Himself assured us in the gospel today that there's only one thing that would last. And what is that? His words. "My words will not pass away." And what is these words, you know, that Christ is talking? It's not just the written or the verbal, the written or the verbal proclamation of the gospel, but how He communicates with us throughout the history of the church, of the faith community, of the faith community. That is why we always have to be guided by the tradition of the church. When I explained it to her, she said to me, "Father, thank you so much. I feel so much better." And I said, "You know, there's one other thing, the best preparation for His coming, and you can do it anytime, is the confessional." The sacrament of confession. Because the coming of Christ, the preparation again, is not so much external but internal. If we are in right relationship with God all the time, what is there to fear? You know, one of the things that reminded me also, it just came to my mind. Am I talking too much? Almost. Was, remember that scene in Calvary when the good thief turned to Jesus and says, "Lord, what did he tell Jesus? Remember me when you enter into paradise." And then the Lord said, today you would be with me in paradise. He did not say, okay, when I resurrect, you would be with me. Today, you see, when we ask him to be with him, it's not something that we look forward to just in the future. His presence is right here today. So when he tells us, when we tell him, Lord, I want to be with you, Jesus tells us, okay, wait for me in 250 years. He tells you, today, you would be with me. He doesn't say, when I come in the end, wait for me there. He tells the good thief, today, you would be with me in paradise. That is why it's not a matter of time, but rather an internal disposition. When we tell him, Lord, I want to be with you. And he tells us, today, you would be with me in paradise.